This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, nice to be with you as we head into the 8 o'clock hour here on a Wednesday on Sports Radio 610. I'm Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. Football is the major topic the last couple days. Winners and losers in free agency. We'll get to one particular winner tied to a big trade the Texans made in just a minute. But ESPN has their winners and losers for free agency. And I think, you know, the good news is right now the solution for the Colts seems to be bringing in Daniel Jones to compete with Anthony Richardson. Doesn't really scare me very much. The Titans, other than signing a new left tackle, seem to be kind of waiting around for the draft to get here. They're probably a year or two away from being an entity that needs to be worried about. Seth, as you know, my biggest fear going into this offseason within the division was that the Jaguars would somehow figure out head coach, GM, and the roster in some way to unlock Trevor Lawrence here and get the Trevor Lawrence that was good enough for about seven games in 2022 to eventually get him a $55 million a year contract. He's been good in Jacksonville for a total of like 2 months out of the 4 years that he's been there, and he's making $55 million a year.
Ultimately, the Jaguars may have succumbed to that most dangerous thing of all in all of sports and life, which is Doug Peterson's ability to get a very short but incredibly productive and promising stretch out of a quarterback who's not actually all that good.
Yes.
Carson Wentz, Nick Foles, Trevor Lawrence, like, oh my gosh, look at this. He's going to be all pro every year. Like,
right.
When then you look up 3 years later, what the hell happened?
And what happens is, at least with Nick Foles and Trevor Lawrence, is the Jags end up paying them. You know, because that's who ended up paying Nick Foles for all that high-level performance in Philadelphia was the Jags that 1 year.
Yeah, when they didn't even have to. Yeah, I mean, that's a whole other tangent. But just as a reminder to everybody, if we're going to practice a little bit of schadenfreude with the Jaguars here, Tom Coughlin was the president of the team at that point. They traded for Nick Foles. I don't think anybody on earth, including Nick Foles himself, expected to get a new contract.
Yeah.
But the Texans went and gave him a very lucrative contract so he could get the respect of guys in the locker room. It was one of the more curious moves that Tom Coughlin's ever made.
Yeah, no question. So winners and losers, according to ESPN, and the very first loser, the very first team they even discuss in this article, loser... Jacksonville Jaguars. Yes.
Duval.
Exactly. It should be
two of the contracts. It's crazy that they're being pointed to as losers for contracts that are not exorbitant contracts, but they're perceived as pretty aggressive overpays to guys like Kyami Brown for 1 year, $10 million, basically because he managed to get 59 receptions in four seasons with Washington.
Yeah.
That was curious. And then Eric Murray leaves the Texans and gets a three-year, $22.5 million deal.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, that was... I feel like Eric Murray has been a little unfairly treated in Houston just because he's attached to so much of the previous regime. But 3 years, $22.5 million, when you consider that, what was Justin Reed's contract with the Saints?
3 years, $31.5 million.
Yeah, and Justin Reed's a much better safety than Eric
much
Murray.
Murray, the only reason Murray was starting is because Jalen Petrie and Jimmy Ward both got hurt. Like, that's probably, like, I could see where the, and keep in mind, the person making these deals is the magnificent Gladstone, the Wonderkin, the magic, the maker of large words, the creator of ecosystems, the modes of operation maven out there. He's the one doing these deals that they are overpays. And De'Ami Brown, Seth, from Washington, he 59 receptions in four seasons, but he had actually a really, really good postseason.
Right.
And if you're getting intoxicated by that, like, that's a big reason Milton Williams is probably getting $26 million a year in New England. Like, you cannot let at positions like receiver and interior defensive line let big games in the postseason. Quarterback, maybe, but you can't let big games in the postseason skew your price range on these guys. You're right.
If you think about how this all works with the Texans, too, where C.J. Gardner-Johnson is coming in. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, I never get sick of this stat. In the last three regular seasons, he was injured in 2023, so he didn't play much. In 21 regular season games, he has 13 interceptions. Take a guess at how many interceptions Eric Murray has in his nine-year NFL career.
No, nine-year career. Okay. I'm going to guess less than 13 for sure, or else you wouldn't be asking. I'm going to guess seven.
Three.
Three in his career?
Yes.
Dude.
I was dumbfounded by the statistic myself, John. I had to double check myself.
But guess what he did in the postseason, Seth?
Yeah.
Pick six. Against Justin Herbert. Dude.
The magical Gladstone.
Oh,
is
my God.
He's the guy who talks in buzzwords and analytic talk and speech and everything. He's old school football GM that's flying by the seat of his pants. Like, he done good in big moments.
Right,
he's
right.
He's got what it takes.
Where can you imagine?
We all get to. He's a winner. He's a winner.
Or can you imagine he's just a casual fan that only watches playoff football? Like, he just doesn't watch. I know I work for the Rams, but I'm not watching football. I'm too busy.
His cutting edge method is to only watch highlights. He watches the highlights. I want to see the upside.
Right.
I want highlights from playoff games. That's only what I want to see.
Well, he does say that he's, we should probably pull the audio at some point, where remember he says at the very beginning, like, there are some new advancements in the game that I feel like my age is conducive to having wrapped my brain around them. Like, he may be going off of TikTok. That's what he's talking about. Like, so what are these advancements that you're talking about? Well, I have this app on my phone called TikTok, and that's where I get most of my information on the NFL.
Sometimes I'll see stuff framed by writers as this brilliant and innovative way to operate, and they're taking something and they'll describe something that people have actually been doing forever. So I've seen this in football and basketball, where some guy might casually mention, like, well, yeah, you know, sometimes when you watch a game continuously, you don't actually see the most important things. So when you're watching cut-ups and everything, you shouldn't watch starting in the first quarter and go all the way to the fourth quarter. And it'll get framed as, like, wow, it's a new and innovative approach. Like, no, it's a cut-up. Like, this is exactly... Yeah. They've been doing this for decades and decades and decades. I feel like Gladstone is going to... He's going to be that guy. He's going to describe something that he does that's just the normal way that people do things. But people are going to look at it. It's like one of the most innovative things they've ever heard.
Yeah, I'm reading this. I mean, they're tearing him up in this article on ESPN. They talk about Eric Murray. They talk about De'Ami Brown. I'm even more confused by the decision to sign Jordan Lewis. The longtime Cowboys cornerback has been solid in the slot without ever being spectacular or warranting Pro Bowl consideration. A year ago, when he finished out a three-year extension, he re-upped with Dallas for 1 year, $2.8 million. It doesn't say what he got here from Jacksonville. I'm guessing significantly more, because as we're learning, the magnificent Gladstone, his magical power is he loves to overpay mediocre players. So,
yeah.
Oh, wait, no, here it is. The Jags just made Lewis one of the league's highest-paid slot cornerbacks on a three-year, $30 million pact. Oh, dude, and that's coming from Dallas, where they've got Trayvon Diggs on one side, they've got Deron Bland in that secondary. We've seen this movie before, Seth. This is called the Aaron Colvin movie, where you play in between a couple of capable cornerbacks, and you play the slot, and you do a decent job of it, and a team's like, oh, yeah, here you go. You must be awesome. Even with bad guys on the outside,
This article, do you know who's pointed out as one of the winners? And it makes sense. It's hurting me that it makes sense.
Laramie
Tunsil.
Yeah.
But specifically for a couple reasons. Well, actually mostly because Laramie Tunsil, as we know, represents himself. He has no agent and he does a really good job of it. He's going to a team, and it's been reported by a couple of the national pundits that Laramie will be seeking a new deal as he gets traded to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Washington has at least a couple more years before they have to pay Jaden Daniels, and they've got a bunch of cap space. So Laramie Tunsil steps into a very good situation offensively, obviously.
Yes.
This is a good landing spot for Laramie Tunsil. It could have gone all... It's not bad for him at all.
No.
I don't think he cares who he's playing for as long as he's getting paid. And he's probably going to get a new contract out of it.
Right. No, he was... Look, the Texans wanted to get him out of here, but Laramie Tunsil, I'm sure, I am 1,000% certain he looks back fondly at his six seasons with the Texans and views himself as a winner in this case.
In a state with no state income
Got
tax, especially.
Got paid top of market twice. That's his criteria.
Yeah.
He's a paycheck player. And all rights to him to be that way. That's fine. That's just not what the Texans are looking for, and I don't know that it's what the Commanders are looking for, Seth. But it's what they're getting. It's what they're getting.
Right. And I don't begrudge people for wanting to make more money. It's the most human thing in the world.
Yes.
That's fine and great. The way that every time D'Amico Ryans talks about what he looks for in a player is that it's got to be more than just money. There's got to be something driving you above and beyond just money, because once you have the money, it's easy to cut corners in other ways or just, you know, assume that everything's all just fine. Laramie Tunsil has never struck anybody as a guy that really genuinely cares about the deeper aspects of being a teammate or anything else like that.
Yeah. Aaron Wilson, I saw on Twitter last night, said that the expectation right now is that Titus Howard will play left tackle and Blake Fisher will play right tackle. If they had to play a game tomorrow, I'm not comfortable with a pairing of those two at tackle in either permutation. Fisher on left, Titus on right, or vice versa.
Right, I'm cool with Titus at right, but the Blake Fisher dynamic is what makes it dicey.
Yeah.
And as we've said multiple times today, this is a work in progress that... For people that are saying, what are the Texans doing? My God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're not going to start a game with the current configuration unless, at least they're not putting it in ink right now.
Yeah.
They're going to add, somebody's going to get drafted. Yeah, it's a work in progress. They're tearing down the old ranch house to build something better. And it's certainly not over by any stretch of the imagination.
Nope. So we'll see.
But that is interesting, because I didn't, you know, Blake Fisher just by physiology looks more like a left tackle, and he's still at a stage in his career where a young dog can learn new tricks, what have you. But you just feel better. If you had to start right now, you feel better about a guy who's got veteran experience playing left tackle in Titus Howard.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I don't want to dismiss Aaron's report on that. And I could very well be true. It's March 12th, and it's an offensive line that's been completely torn down to the studs. Like, to me, like, yeah, right now, this is what it would be. Maybe that is even how they're drawing it up on the chalkboard as they attack free agency in the draft. Like, look, this is what it's going to be. And I just have a hard time believing through injuries, draft, free agency, and just the general change that we could see by performance in training camp, of all things, too, that... there's a whole lot more that can happen between now and week one, you know?
If we were to play the game, what's more likely?
Okay.
Very popular in some circles.
Yes.
Where would you say, what's more likely? Titus Howard starts game one at left tackle, or Titus Howard is traded to another football team before then?
I would say Titus starting at left tackle.
Okay.
I would say starting at left tackle. Neither would surprise me. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
I don't think it's an outrageous thing to think that he too could get traded. But I think you do reach a point where you're going, okay, now we're having to find four starting offensive linemen. And, you know, in free agency, you're competing with a bunch of teams for guys. You can't count on anything. And in the draft, you only have so many picks you can use. And this just in, you've got other needs other than just offensive line. So I think it starts to turn into a bit of a numbers game. We're like, all right, well, we need to keep some guys around that have experience, that are pros. To your point earlier, maybe, you know, maybe Laramie not being in there anymore is a wake-up call for Titus, and he turns into the best, swarmiest version of himself. That's a possibility. So I would say, with great trepidation, I would say that he's your starting left tackle, but neither scenario, I think, is a shocking scenario.
There's a few guys out there, and I apologize if I missed these guys being signed, that don't excite you, but that at least you could plug in and say, oh, he's a viable offensive tackle at either spot.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Robinson, Alaric Jackson. He signed, didn't he? I caught myself. Jedrick Wills from the Browns. They're viable offensive tackle starters, but not guys that you get excited about.
Yep. Jedrick Wills.
And it would still be very much replaceable. But there's going to be competition along the entire offensive line.
It's thin, though, man. I mean, you're five names. I'm looking at Sharp Football Analysis list, because they go by position and keep it in order of how they sort of power rank these guys. Cam Robinson one. Tyron Smith is number two on this list, and he stunk for the Jets last year. Like, he's old and not good. You get five names down, and there's Kendall Lamb on the list of tackles. You know, so now looking at this, I feel a little stronger about my answer that there's a better chance that Titus is your left tackle than he gets
Blake
moved.
Blake Fisher's a huge X factor in all of
Big
this.
Big X factor. That's
I
a
mean,
good
Blake
point.
Fisher had a rough game versus the Chiefs. That's the old, if you had to go play the divisional playoff game today, you'd be in big trouble. So if there's one thing I know about Nick Caserio, and it's been borne out in these last couple days, it's impossible to predict exactly what the next move is going to be.
We didn't see the Kenyon Green thing. We didn't see the Laramie Tunsil thing coming, really. Question on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Morning crew, love the show. My question is, how likely is the Cooper Kupp situation for us after all the moves are made? I guess we should point out, today is the day that the Rams would officially make Cooper Kupp available via release if they can't find a trade here at the last minute.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp, Aaron Rodgers is the other guy that today officially can get released. Yep. It's been, you know, he hasn't officially been released yet. Right. So, boy, the Aaron Rodgers watch today is going to be fascinating.
Yeah.
Do you expect, all right, Sean, let's play a little game I like to call, What's More Likely? What? What?
Give it to me.
Aaron Rodgers is a free agent at the end of today, or Aaron Rodgers is on a team?
I think he's on a team at the end of the day.
You think it's the Pittsburgh
Steelers? I do. Okay. I think this feels like, to me, where the obvious answer is the right answer kind of thing.
This might be one of those old school situations where a team really actually wants to sit down in person with a player before they sign him.
Yep.
And I think Aaron Rodgers is probably in a situation where he feels the same way, that he wants to talk to Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator up there. I think that, look, Tomlin, despite, you know, the way he operates and everything, he's shown that he has great capacity for dealing with different personality types. I feel like once you deal with Antonio Brown, everything else probably feels pretty easy.
It's all gravy,
so,
baby. Yeah.
So I think it's more about the conversation that the offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith, has with Aaron Rodgers about how things are going to look.
Yeah, it's a really good point. I'll go with on a team today, and I think it'll be the Pittsburgh Steelers. There's a big part of me that wants it to be the Giants, because I think that could be a disaster, you know. But we'll see. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday here. All right, let's keep it moving. The Texans, turns out they were in on one of the highest paid free agents at his position, and maybe this gives us a window into exactly why they made the deal to go bring in CJ Gardner-Johnson. We'll tell you who that player was coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Nice to be with you on a Wednesday, Payne and Pendergast. The Texans made a trade yesterday. They trade Kenyon Green and a draft pick, a day three pick, for safety C.J. Gardner-Johnson and a day three pick. They flip-flop those picks in next year's draft on day three. Ian Rapoport yesterday was talking about Javon Holland. He signed with the New York Giants 3 years at, I believe, over $15 million a year. So he gets tippy-top, at least in this free agency class, money at safety. Just for some perspective, Justin Reed, who was widely viewed as being right alongside Javon Holland as the best safeties on this free agent market, Justin Reed goes back home to Louisiana to play for the Saints at just over $10 million a year. Javon Holland's getting $15 million a year to go play for the New York Giants. But this was the interesting part when Ian Rapoport was talking about this signing yesterday, the Holland signing. The Texans get a mention here.
It's a really interesting trade. So the Texans were trying to find a safety. I know they had some interest in Javon Holland. Javon Holland goes to the Giants today for a bag. $345.3 million, I think, is the deal, with some upside there. So that was sort of a splash for the Giants. And then it was sort of like, all right, well, obviously the Texans still need a safety. Is there any available? I had heard rumblings that Chauncey Gardner-Johnson could potentially be available. They do the trade. Eagles get some offensive line help.
So that was interesting, Seth, to me, that the Texans' interest in Javon Holland gets mixed in there. That, I mean, that tells me that this isn't necessarily one of these things where this Eagles proposal was sort of a one-off where we have an opportunity to get a guy. You know, maybe it's not a high position in need, but boy, he's a good player, and we'll find a way to get him on the field in C.J. Gardner-Johnson. It sounds like to me they were actively shopping at the top of the safety market, or at least kicking tires on some guys.
Yeah, there. I think that what we've learned, and that would have been a I felt like that they were going to, obviously, with Eric Murray leaving, do something to bolster the safety position. I didn't expect to be somebody all that recognizable. And because we've just been talking about it ad nauseum where the real positions of need are on this team. So I get excited about the fact that they were looking and that they ended up getting a very affordable trade for a guy that has been playing good football the last few years.
He's a name brand guy, to use your phrase.
Yeah, he's an impact playmaker. Yeah. I mean, going back to when Dom Capers was my defensive coordinator in Jacksonville before we ever got to Houston, I mean, he would say over and over again, and this is pretty much how most defensive coordinators feel and head coaches, if you can find a way to take the ball away, we're going to get you on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And C.J. Gardner-Johnson has 13 interceptions in his last 21 regular season games. He is a ball hawk. And now you've got a secondary that if they can just not have the glitches and some of the coverage breakdowns or missed tackles that they had last year, I mean, this could be an all-timer in terms of ability to take the ball away, especially in NRG Stadium, because you have a pass rush up front. You've got ball hawks in the secondary, and it's going to be a really scary environment for quarterbacks coming to NRG Stadium. I don't think we've ever really come up with a great name for NRG Stadium when they have a good defense. We had Bulls on Parade, which was kind of the name of the defense itself. But there's no House of Pain.
No,
right?
No.
The House of Pain moniker that the Astrodome had for a while. You need something that paints a picture of what it's like going to play this defense in their home stadium.
Text in. Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Let's crowdsource this thing here. So there's a texter asking, could this become the Legion of Boom 2.0 at NRG Stadium? I don't know if it's Legion of Boom 2.0. Those are bigger guys. You know, those were bigger. There's a reason they were the Legion of Boom. I will say this. I think when the position group rankings come out this summer from all the various outlets, the Texans secondary, I'd be shocked if the Texans secondary was anywhere outside of the top two or three in any of those rankings right now.
Yeah.
Because it's not just, I mean, they were already really good without C.J. Gardner-Johnson. That was already a secondary you could go, all right, I mean, all the advanced stats that we see about Stingley and Lassiter, I mean, 1 and 2 in all sorts of coverage stats, passer rating allowed, completion percentage allowed. And then you've got Kalen Bullock, who's a rising player who had a lot of big plays last year. Jalen Petrie comes back. He's highly thought of, I think, after the season he had pre-injury last year.
Well, and especially he's only been in that role for less than a full season.
Correct.
So now he comes into it really having learned the role, and the Texans know better maybe what he can and cannot do. So there's this feels more stable than last year, where you're looking at, okay, the addition of Stephon Diggs, and it's easy in hindsight to ignore, but we talked about it all last offseason. The offense has to establish that they can run the ball consistently if they want to be a good offense, and they failed in that regard.
Yeah.
There's less to prove on the defensive side of the ball. They are adding to what was already a very opportunistic defense.
Dude, and opportunistic is the word that I would label Nick Caserio with that word with the C.J. Gardner-Johnson pickup. That is an opportunistic. you get a chance to flip a guy who was a draft bust for you for a guy who is going to, I expect, if he's healthy, to perform at a very high level at an impact position at a very, very good price for the next couple of years. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, this Javon Holland, he's not on the Texans, so I can't get too angry one way or the other, except for the fact that in the Pettycast yesterday, I did bring up, Seth, that I was feeling petty about all these players who claim they want to go play for a winner, claim that I just want a legacy of championships, don't even mention money when they're talking about what it is they want, and then lo and behold, they can be bought out like a cheap dime store hooker when it comes to free agency time or getting a new contract. Here was Javon Holland on a podcast talking about all the things he's going to be looking for in a team when free agency rolls around. This is from several weeks ago.
I actually wrote down and like the best way I could sum up,
yeah,
you know, what I'm looking for. Detailed and experienced coaching, a player supportive ownership, just honest culture setting, men leading head coach with a goal and a standard he holds everybody to. A team that wants to win and has players with like-mindedness about the team's goals and standards. Leaders that want to lead and set examples by action, not by their word. So I think that in itself is, yep, you know, what I'm really looking for.
Yeah.
Not necessarily saying that it's not at the Dolphins,
yeah,
right? But in general, that's like my mindset for what I want.
Bro, you signed with the Giants. You signed with the freaking Giants for $15 million a year.
Well, what are you going to get from a Canadian? He's Canadian, you
know. Is he Canadian?
John. Yeah, he's Canadian.
Got to take advantage, I guess. Yeah.
He was born in Canada. I don't know if he grew up in Canada or not.
Okay.
But by virtue of the eloquence with which he said it, that might be an all-timer.
I'm angry.
That was one of the more eloquent. That was one of the more eloquent dissertations on the importance of going to a competitive team. Do we put that up there with Reggie White, when he was one of the NFL's first free agents, saying that God told him that he needs to go to a team where he can help out inner city youth, and he chose the Green Bay Packers?
Green Bay, yeah. Who I'm sure have youth that live within the city limits somewhere.
Yeah.
But
there are inner city. He didn't describe what type of inner city youth he was hoping to help or not. Yeah. That's right up there. That's right up there with one of the new leaders in the clubhouse, which is Myles Garrett, claiming that he needed to go somewhere because he cared about Super Bowls more so than anything else, that he needed to go somewhere else, and then he got bought out.
Literally took shots at the Browns culture while he was making those claims. And who did he re-sign with? The Browns. Yeah.
It's very much that old W.C. Fields joke where a man asks a woman, hey, would you sleep with me for $1 million? And she says, yeah, I can manage that. And he says, okay, well, how about for $100? And she says, what kind of a lady do you think I am? And he says, well, we've already established that. Now we're just negotiating. That's
Javon
exactly
Holland.
Javon
Holland,
yeah.
You cheap whore.
High class
whore. Yeah, no, right.
He's an escort. Don't call him a hooker. He's an escort.
Sorry,
damn it.
Call girl. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, dude.
Well, here's what bothered me about the Javon Holland thing is general lip service to wanting to win and play for a championship and then taking the big payday from a crappy team. Okay, that happens a lot. He completely disrespected the process of sitting down and writing out your goals and objectives, which I'm a fan of. I'm a fan of sitting down and going, okay, I got a problem. I got to attack it. It helps me assimilate. It helps me think clearly if I write it down and I can look at it. He completely disrespected that process and really along the way tried to put him above everybody who didn't do that. He's like, well, I just so happen to have it right here. And the way he read it super fast, like, oh, everybody should be doing this, you know, like, blah, 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 blah. Like, yeah, so Javon Holland, I don't like you. You play for the Giants. We're not going to see you for a couple of years. There was a way that I could get C.J. Gardner-Johnson on the field to hit you somehow. You both play defense, so I'm gonna have to count on whatever new swarmy offensive lineman it is to earhole you after a. That would be after a turnover from C.J. Stroud. Never mind. I just have to hire a hitman, I guess, on Javon Holland to take out my anger. So, Peyton and Pendergast with you on a. on a Wednesday. So, yeah, keeping an eye on the Aaron Rodgers market, keeping an eye out for whatever Texans trade is coming here. There's still more work to be done in free agency for the Texans. Our guy Diggs is still out there, man. Stephon Diggs is still out there.
I think Diggs might wait until later in the offseason to sign. It would make a lot of sense for a lot of reasons. He's a guy coming off an ACL at the age of 31, 32 years old. A guy who's known for his short area quickness, especially his lateral movement and everything. I think he's probably going to get his best contract and be in the best situation if he waits. Not to mention he's got that little legal issue in Houston. So yeah, it's a civil matter. Depending on how teams feel about that, it might be better for him to wait on that a little while.
Maybe.
So I was on with our guy that does
Zach
the national
Gelb.
Show.
Zach
Gelb yesterday, yeah. And he was asking about Stephon Diggs. And, you know, I explained to him what we all noticed this year is that, yeah, he was an awesome guy in terms of leadership. And in adverse circumstances where the offense wasn't performing well, he was often the guy who was preaching positivity and stick-to-itiveness and all of that. So I don't think teams are going to be scared off by Stephon Diggs, the personality. For three straight teams, whether it be Minnesota, Buffalo, or Houston, he's a model citizen for at least the first couple of years.
Yes.
And he's probably not going to – no team's going to sign him expecting to have him for more than a couple of years.
Question on the text page. Do you think a lot of reporters are sticking up for Laremy Tunsil because he gave them insider info?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
Simple answer, yes.
Yeah,
I do.
It's tough. For some of these young reporters, I think that sometimes they don't realize or take into account just how self-interested guys are when they're feeding them information. That's why I generally don't really like the exposés where they quote a bunch of anonymous players,
mm-hmm.
just because you can go to any NFL team and find players who are disgruntled. I mean, there was a huge Seth Wickersham expose on the Patriots the year before they won one of their Super Bowls.
Yeah.
About how toxic and awful everything was.
Oh, dude.
And then they went out and won a Super Bowl. Like, yeah, you're going to be able to... The guys... And just by virtue of... Like the players who would talk smack about their own team as an anonymous source, the team they're currently on.
Yeah,
I have a natural level of distrust in those guys because I'm still old school in that regards, and I think there's a lot of players that are that way still. That you keep things in house. You got a problem with the way things are operating, then you go talk to your coaches about it, but you don't go blathering to a reporter.
Yep. We're still waiting, I think, on the Texans to make a few more moves, and I think there's a couple that I think are a lock to be coming at some point. When do we think this one is coming? We'll tell you which one that is coming up next.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, nice to be with you, Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. It is. Dude, I'm looking at Adam Schefter posted this an hour ago. It's a picture from 5 years ago. So that would be 2020. So probably at the Super Bowl, because it's a picture of DeAndre Hopkins, Lamar Jackson, and Derrick Henry all dressed up nice out somewhere. Yes, maybe the NFL honors or something like that. And DeAndre Hopkins posted a tweet with that picture that said, how many TDs would this trio score? And Adam Schefter's like, well, it's 5 years later, but we're going to find out, I guess. Because they're all on the same team now. Derrick Henry, DeAndre Hopkins. God, can you imagine if it was peaked? Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson, and DeAndre Hopkins. Holy smokes.
That would be scary. Now, yeah. I do think that, you know what, it's a good move for DeAndre in that, there are scary, scary weapons in the backfield there, but they need help at wide receiver. They don't have an awesome wide receiving core, so I think that there's going to be opportunities for him there. Mm-hmm. It's a very reasonable deal. I don't feel like the Texans should have brought DeAndre Hopkins back or anything else like that, but I certainly wish him the best. I wish he hadn't gone to the Ravens, though, because that's a team that's very much been a bugaboo for the Texans.
Yeah, yeah.
Particularly in the playoffs.
That's okay, man.
If you would go to a team in the NFC that had a Super Bowl chance, then I could full bore root for him. Yeah. But now there's a good chance that at some point I'm going to hope that DeAndre Hopkins sucks if he's playing against the Texans.
Can't root for him on the Ravens. If he went to the Bills, you can't root for him. We sure as hell know we couldn't root for him when he was a Kansas City Chief. So, yeah. He's a Baltimore Raven along with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. We should mention as well, before we get into the big Texan move that we're all waiting for, Joey Bosa signs with Buffalo 1 year, $12.5 million. I knew it. When they cut him, I said, some good team is going to get Joey Bosa looking to prove a thing on a deal where we're like, oh, $12.5 million for Joey Bosa.
I'm cool with that because Bosa Minor, as we like to call him in these parts, he's not as good as his brother. He's been injured a lot, and he's just not the same guy that he used to be. The Bills have this penchant for aging formerly stud defensive linemen. They just let go of Von Miller, and then Von Miller was banned. Now, Von Miller, they gave a huge contract to that was very eyebrow-raising given his age.
Yes.
And he ended up being injured and having a legal scrape along the way. Bosa is a more reasonable one. That makes more sense.
So the big move that is going to come at some point here, the Texans are going to give an extension to Derek Stingley Jr. at some point. I feel pretty strongly this offseason that could happen and will happen. J.C. Horn just signed earlier this week, 4 years, $100 million, $25 million a year. J.C. Horn is not as good a player as Derek Stingley Jr. is. Derek Stingley's better. This is a market, Seth, that is almost as interesting as what the edge rushers have been this offseason. You know, Max Crosby and Myles Garrett have done for guys like Trey Hendrickson now and Micah Parsons, T.J. Watt, if he's looking to redo his deal here, guys like that. This cornerback market, which has always felt a little underpriced compared to some of the other markets that have been in that 28, 30, 35 million range. For whatever reason, corner has always been kind of hanging back in that low 20s range here over the last couple of years. Derek Stingley Jr., Sauce Gardner, Trent McDuffie, Deron Bland, all eligible for extensions right now.
So this is a question where I've been saying, all right, listen, when the Texans do these, a lot of times you don't hear a single thing about it, and then all of a sudden, right before the season begins, Deshaun Watson gets his extension, for instance, a few years back, and represented by David Mulligetta at the time.
Yep.
And Derek Stingley, represented by David Mulligetta. Is this a year where you hope that the Texans actually get a jump on it? And just like with Nico Collins last year, Nico Collins got a really nice deal, but then it ended up paling in comparison to some of the really upper echelon deals.
Yeah.
Is this, would it be best for the Texans to get the Derek Stingley thing out of the way early on in the offseason before the high water mark is set?
Unless you plan to roll for another year with him on his cheap rookie deal. If you're like, you know what? We know the price is going to go up, but we have to have his cap hit stay at this to function this year. Now, in the process, how does Derek Stingley Jr. feel about that? How does David Mulligetta feel about that? The flip side to that, too, without getting too nerdy with the cap, is that if you were to do an extension with Derek Stingley Jr., depending on how you structure it, you could actually open up cap space this year.
Right. You know? It doesn't kick in until a year or two down the line.
Yep.
The other part, the subtle part is you sit around and you watch all these different deals being made, and, oh, wow, Myles Garrett, $40 million per year. That's the high watermark, and somebody who's not as good as Myles Garrett or hasn't proven he's as good as Myles Garrett is going to get that contract at some point. And that's the $40 million is what you're thinking about with Will Anderson down the road.
I was just going to say, it might be Will Anderson Jr., yeah.
So one of the huge deals is Myles Garrett represented by Nicole Lynn?
Yes.
I think he is.
Yes.
Same agent that Will Anderson has.
Correct.
Nicole Lynn has become, kind of quietly become one of the power brokers in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And then David Mulligetta represents Derek Stingley. Like, the Texans aren't going to pull a fast one on either of these guys. I'm not saying that the guys are going to hold the Texans over the flames or anything, but the Texans aren't going to be able to pull a fast one.
Yeah, well, I think the thing, too, and who knows, you know, maybe Nicole Lynn and David Mulligetta are not fans of both of these guys doing this, Will Anderson and Derek Stingley, respectively, but they've both been very outspoken about how much they want to be Houston Texans, how much they love being on this team, how much they love playing for D'Amico Ryans, you know what I mean? And so you know, you view their agent like, well, don't put it out there too much how much you love being, you know, like any expression of gratitude or happiness too much, you're going to be like, man, they're going to ask you to take a hometown discount.
Honestly, I don't think teams or agents read a single thing into things that are said publicly.
Okay.
I don't, you know, it's just, there's so much that people are going to say the right thing. And that, hey, what did Myles Garrett say publicly? You know?
That's true. Garrett, the opposite of that, and he signs a huge deal.
No way in hell he wanted to be in Cleveland.
Right.
And there he is in Cleveland.
Yeah. I think the Stingley deal, and I think just at its bare bones, Seth, like the timing of the deal is, if they are of mind that they're going to get it done, and if Nick Caserio and the Texans are looking at the new standard at that position contract-wise, being J.C. Horn, the standard at that position right now on the field-wise is Derek Stingley Jr. and maybe Patrick Surtain. But the standard contract-wise is J.C. Horn, 4 years, $100 million. If they're of mind that they're going to play in that neighborhood, you may as well play now, because I do feel like Sauce Gardner and Trent McDuffie are guys that have had a good enough history in the NFL so far. Maybe in the moment they're not Derek Stingley Jr., but if we're evaluating the totality of their career so far, those are guys that would easily, I think, if Stingley were to sign for $25.5 million a year and then Sauce gets $26 million, I don't think people are going to blink at that. So why not be the team that's given the $25.5 million out instead of waiting for two more guys to sign?
All right, this is where I'm going to cut off my nose to spite my face.
Ooh.
There's a part of me now, even though it wouldn't be good for the Texans, I want Stingley to get a bigger deal than Sauce Gardner.
There's
that part of me. Okay. This is self-defeating. It's not the right attitude to have. It's petty.
Yeah.
But we had to live through people gushing over how dumb the Texans were for taking Stingley instead of Sauce Gardner. And oh boy, the Jets really put a, no, I need Derek Stingley to make more money than Sauce Gardner.
It's only right. Correct. Yeah, it is cutting off your nose despite your face. Not your entire nose. You're like maybe like this part of the nostril over here. Not the whole nose, just a little small shave, you know?
Maybe I need a nose job.
Yeah.
Maybe I've got a big old bulbous red alcoholic nose and I need to get it tweaked a little bit.
Right,
you know?
Right. But whatever the case, I think it comes from a good place. You are rooting for Derek Stingley Jr. in every facet of life, whether it's on the field.
A good place in our warped mentality where pettiness is to be strived for,
We raise pettiness up. We elevate pettiness on this show. Hey, real quick.
We're the champions of pettiness. Everybody else wants to tell you, like, oh, no. Don't be narcissistic. Don't have a huge ego.
Nope.
Oh, screw that. Life is short. Grab what you can get, damn it.
Tell him so.
Screw all the others.
Yeah. Are you listening, kids? This is a reason to stay in the car until 9 o'clock, all right? Quick text.
Yeah, skip school.
Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. What would Seth think of the Texans signing Mekhi Becton?
Your
answer.
Sethy Likey. Old Sethers is a fan of that. Pope Zaza approved. Does a little the religious rites on it and approves of it. I grant you access to heaven. Skip purgatory. Go straight ahead. Mekhi Becton. I like Mekhi Becton because he's lived a little. He's gotten his ego knocked down because he was a disappointment as an offensive tackle with the Jets. He goes and gets some good instruction on a good offense and plays well as a guard for the Eagles. And he's an interesting one in that he's still out there. I wonder what teams think about his injury history too. He's had weight control issues at times. That doesn't tend to be as much of an issue at guard or is it tackle. But, he might be on a reasonable deal. Maybe, a Nick Caserio special where it's a lot more guaranteed money but a short-term contract. Yeah. I'd be very intrigued by Mekhi Becton.
I would, too. Yeah, if you rolled into this season with your two guards being Laken Tomlinson and Mekhi Becton, you're way better than you were last year. Those two guys are way better than Shaq Mason and whatever you were throwing out there at left guard last year. For sure. Payne and Pendergast with you. Heading into the 9 o'clock hour. Man, things are flying today. Let's circle back. Laremy Tunsil trade. We learned a little bit about how the Texans were attacking this thing, and it makes me feel very good about the urgency on the offensive line. And we'll hear from the newest Texan, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, on how that all came about. Very entertaining. Our new safety here in Houston. We'll do all that coming up here in the 9 o'clock segment. That is next.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.